Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Greetings, friends. My name is Stephen Lewis, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Dr. Nona Marie Foyer will interview Javier Garay on the intriguing subject, illness and shamanic healing. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Greetings, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, Stephen. Really looking forward to the show about the shaman.
So am I. The guest is going to be fascinating, and these sorts of stories of shamanic healing and wisdom and therapy are always very informative. But before we get to Javier and have him come out, would you mind sharing with us your psychic specialties?
Yes, Stephen. I'm a psychic medium and astrologer, so I use my mediumship to connect with spirit and channel from the spirit world, and my astrology to help people answer their questions about themselves and their lives, including the future.
Brilliant, brilliant. I want to remind everyone that you can find Stephen Frampton at PsychicAccess.com. Very glad you could be here with us tonight, Steve. Looking forward to getting your insights after the interview. Well, Dr. Nona Marie, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. We finally got some rain in California after a three-year drought, so very happy today.
Wow, that is all. 3 years is a long time to go without the rain. So here come the rains again, right?
Yes, it's been great.
Well, before we get into talking about what Mr. Garay does and all of that good stuff, would you mind sharing with us some of your psychic specialties over at PsychicAccess.com?
I would love to. Thank you. I do predictive readings. Also, tend to bring in psychological tools for people to use if they're having a hard time. And I also do animal readings at times. And I love working at Psychic Access, where we have some of the best people on the planet giving readings.
I would have to agree with you. PsychicAccess.com is a great place to find great psychics, and you are certainly right up there, Dr. Nona Marie. I'm very excited about tonight's show. Would you mind sharing with us some details about your guest?
I met Javier in person because I had a leg pain that no one could diagnose, find, or treat. I tried alternative medicine, and I also tried my regular doctor, who said the symptoms didn't fit anything that he knew and didn't know what to do. And I was sleeping with magnets and all sorts of things that I was putting on, and it was killing me and I couldn't sleep. And I went to see Javier, and I am not sure what he did, but it was phenomenal work. Aside from my leg getting completely healed, I also just shifted my mood and my energy dramatically. And I was in such a different place when we finished that I really never got a chance to talk to him about what he does in his practice. So I'm really excited also to hear about his work. And I did not realize until inviting him to do this show that his specialty was working on things like HIV and cancer and using shamanic processes to help people get rid of these diseases. That's pretty exciting.
Well, can you tell us a little bit about Javier, for example, his website and where he practices, about him while we're getting him on the air here?
Absolutely. He is truly out of the shamanic tradition, and being part of a group and sharing his talents with a circle of healers. So they have a group website called the Inner Sanctuary, and they run a lot of classes and offer a lot of different services depending on the healers that work with them. He's founded Inner Sanctuary, and it's located in Riverside, California, which is the Inland Empire. As far as I know, he also does long-distance work, and he can be approached for healing sessions without having to live in California. And he has also learned many other talents. He was identified as a shaman when he was 10. His mother was told that from other shamans that he had a gift. And since his training in that, he has also added his work as a medical intuitive, a psychic detective. He does Reiki, and I think there's a lot of other things he does that I don't even know about. And he's a very humble person, very modest. He does not talk a lot during the sessions. He asks questions and then uses drumming, chanting, crystals, and energy work. And I believe from what I've seen when I have talked to him that he doesn't have any specific procedure that he follows. He goes according to the client, according to the situation, and according to the spirits that come in to assist him. So we can't say, oh, this is what Javier does every time he does work. We actually have no idea what Javier is going to do. He may not have any idea other than calling in all the forces that he works with.
So he operates his website, theinnersanctuary.org. It's like a group of practitioners in his field.
Exactly. So he is there. He is the CEO. He's the founder. And I think he has like two or three other officers there. But then he also invites in other people that are doing this kind of work. There seems to be a lot of that going on in this area of California, the Inland Empire. I see people forming there's a group of healers called Circle of Light. And they all kind of get together and refer clients to each other. And they're not competitive, but they are more working together in partnership. So you'll have channelers and you'll have someone else who works with crystals. And it's kind of like a family group. And there's another group called the Holistic Registry that does the same thing, that they will make referrals within their group of people. And we can attest to their skill and their competency. So it's kind of nice. It's sort of like going to a medical clinic where they have the x-ray machines and the eye doctor specialists all in one building. There seems to be quite a few groups out here that have that with alternative healings kind of all under one roof. It's very nice. Very nice concept. Very much a community rather than one person trying to make a name for themselves or say they can do everything all by themselves.
Well, very nice. Well, we have Javier here with us, so let's go ahead and start.
Javier, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great to have you.
Good, good. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So, I would love to hear more. When I spoke to you a little bit, you talked about your mom had some shamans come to her and identify that you had a gift. So, what happened with that? How did you start your training or the recognition that you had something special going on in the way of being a healer?
My mother had some family issues back then. Mm-hmm. With my grandmother having cancer. Somebody recommended my mom to take my grandmother to these shamans. And when we took these shamans, to help my grandmother, they told my mom, why don't you leave this boy right here with us? Because he got a special gift and we would like for him to see what we do. Mm. Maybe he will be interested in doing this work with us. So that will be my starting point. After that, it will be a series of different things, different incidents that happens. There was many people coming to my house from different parts of the world, looking for healing because they learned about, not what I was capable of doing, but about these shamans and I. So everything starts at a very early age.
So did your mom leave you there with the shamans?
Yes, I was. She left me there, not to leave there, because it was very close to my house. Actually, it was about a 20 minute drive where these shamans were located at. So my mom was leaving me for, especially when I was in my vacations from school. She was leaving me there for half a day or three quarters of the day, so I can work with them.
Wow. And how did they start training with you? What kind of things happened to develop your skills?
Well, basically, there was a very, very unusual training, because they never told me, look, this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
No, they were doing it, and they just told me, follow us and see and feel. There was a certain aspect that they were telling me, because there's some laws, if you want to call it, spiritual laws that you had to be aware of when you're doing rituals. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly out of respect for the entities that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I was just learning by looking at them.
Right.
By watching them work.
And did they come out powerful. Of a particular practice? Like, was this the Huichol tribe, or was this some other kind of particular shamanism that you know about? Or
yes, the shamanism that I initiate with, which they have, it was more like Christian shamanism,
mm-hmm.
if you will call it that way, because they were working with the energies of the Christ consciousness. They were working, we were working, and I still do work with the archangels,
mm-hmm.
which is probably one of my main streams that I do. And of course, we include a lot of things like I heal with eggs, with coconuts, with flowers, with fruits, with herbs, and in my lineage, the only thing we don't do is animals.
Mm-hmm.
We don't sacrifice animals for that.
Right.
As of today, no.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing really. But besides that, we use a very different type of things. Water, mud, oils. But once again, it's never stop flowing of doing different things all the time.
Right. So you keep learning more and more skills. And how would you, for people who are listening who perhaps aren't familiar with shamanism, how would you describe it compared to, like, some people are used to Reiki and they know the names of other healing modalities? Some may not be familiar with shamanism. What would you say to them?
Shamanism is just like any other modality. They're different. I've been traveling around different parts of the world doing healing. When I was in Europe last May, I learned different things that they do over there. In South America, when I used to go there, they do different things. So shamanism is more that nothing but a healer that utilizes nature. Utilize nature. You can call it the herbs. You can call animals. You can call the elements of the earth. There's some shamans. They are astrologers.
Mm-hmm.
So they're more in touch with nature. We emphasize that very much.
Right. Is that a little bit like the Druid path as well, which seems to do kind of that same thing, working with plants and animal spirits?
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
Yeah.
And once again, it depends where the tribe, where the lineage, that shamanism comes from. It might be different for everyone.
Right, right. So when you started training so young, how did you know when you were ready to start helping other people?
You don't. It's not a certification that you get it, or it's not you just doing it. It's a call that you, for time and time, we all get a call in the same manner. So you get a call to do it right there at the moment, and you do it. It's okay. It's that connection that you have. Because shamanism is about connection. When you acknowledge that connection, that we all have that connection, but when you acknowledge that connection, then you flow, and then you do it.
Well, how old were you when you first actually worked on someone? You were studying with the shaman teachers at a very young age. Was there some point when they said to you, you're ready, or did they just put someone in front of you one day? How did that happen?
When I was working with them, mostly we did it as a group. There was two female shamans and myself, and that's what we were doing together. We're doing everything together. It was not until I came to California that I started doing it by myself. And I walked away from this work for a long time, working on just regular work like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until like 10 years ago that it was an opportunity. They presented an opportunity with a house that was haunted. And that's when and a spirit came to me and they told me, are you going to do this job or not? Are you going to forget about it? So it was a choice that they gave me. Mm-hmm. So I decided right there that it was time to go back for something that I really enjoy, that I really like, and that I really feel like myself. So I have a very good, intensive experience right there in the house. Where I learned after that a couple of priests being kicked out of the house, and a pastor also was kicked out of the house because he was very strong demons in the house. Mm-hmm. And at the time that I came to the house, with the help of archangels, we were able to clean the house to defeat and get those entities out of the house. So it was a very good experience, and that was pretty much the comeback for me.
Mm. When you send demons off, where do you send them? Do you send them home? Do you send them to the light? Because I've heard different people who do that kind of work have different ideas on what, you know, where they go, where they send them. I'm curious to know what you do.
Yes, what I basically do is send them to what we call the House of the Providence, where it's, they have an opportunity to make a decision. All this is about making a decision. It's not that they're going to get better or they're going to get worse, but they have a decision to continue doing what they're doing or go a different way. And in this case, a lot of all these entities of light that are power, in this case, we can call Archangel Michael, they escort these entities to that ground, to that house, so they can make a decision. The entities do not destroy it. You cannot destroy them completely. No entity, no spirit goes away. They're all God creation. Right. They're all created with the same essence as you and I. So they cannot destroy.
Right. So you give them a chance to take another path, basically, it sounds like.
Yeah, I've got to clarify that it's not me that is giving the chance. It's the creator.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, what I do is I just help them to get out of there. I help them to... they don't belong in this world. They don't belong in this place. They don't belong in these entities. They don't belong here. So we help them to get out of there and go where they need to be.
So it sounds like it's kind of a healing for demonic forces as well as the people who called you in.
Correct. Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. So you mentioned that you specifically work now, it sounds like, with HIV and cancer, and I would love to hear about that because those are massively huge challenges, and would love to know, first of all, what is the shamanic outlook on, like, how do people get these illnesses? Why do they get them? And then how do you actually approach that? Because these are giant roadblocks for some humans.
Yes. We actually believe that 80% of all major illnesses, they come from your mind. You created them unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
There's three different levels of your body. Many people call different names. Basically, it's, there's your body of your consciousness, your self-consciousness, and your unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And you work with different levels every day. So through your unconsciousness, you bring those illnesses to your life. Some of these illnesses can come from past lives or karma that is not being completed. We have to understand that karma is an unfinished energy. All the energies is a cycle. And when the cycle is not complete, it's a leakage of energy. And when you allow that, those leakages of energy out of your body, that's what when the body gets ill. I don't heal cancer. But it happened to heal the energy of their body. So their body can heal themselves. Our body is so beautifully manufactured, if you want to call it that way, that we got the ability to heal ourselves if we get the right tools. So if we got the right energy, we can heal ourselves. So that's what a shaman does. A shaman doesn't go to the material realm to help you. Shamans, we go out to the spiritual life, realm, to the energetic field to help you, to restore your energy field, your natural abilities. So we all powerful in that. We all, without the patient's help, I cannot do it.
So is there a difference in your approach if you feel that it's coming from karma versus coming from the unconscious of the person?
Yes, it's a, it's a, it's a different approach, man. Basically, when it's from karma, from different past lives, I like to go deep and find out where that energy started and why that energy haven't been completed and what we can do to complete that energy. It's not about attacking, going against that illness, but it's about to heal that piece of energy, where it comes from, and what we need to do in this lifetime to complete that cycle. To fulfill that part of you that is missing right there. So it's mostly I had to journey, I had to do a journey on this soul. So when the person comes to me, we open all these channels of energy so they can flow. Everything, in my experience, most of these things happen because we don't allow the flow of life to flow through us. And I was use this example of a river. A river, when the water is flowing free, it creates oxygen, fish, flowers, life. But when you stop that flow of water, that water becomes stagnant and creates disease. It creates mosquitoes, creates a lot of stuff. Hmm. Because we are 80%, 70% water. So that affects a lot on us. The flow of life has to flow all the time. We breathe in, we have to breathe out. We get in, we get food through our mouth, we have to evacuate that food, have to let it go. Get what is good for us and let go of the rest. When we drink water, we have to drink the water and then let it go. So it can, the water is flushing, restoring, renewing all the time. This is many times where we as a human beings are so good about holding on things, holding on grudges, holding resentment, and holding on into feelings and emotions. And all these feelings and emotions, they only have one function, which is to feel it, feel it, and release it. Feel it, use that emotion, and release it. If you retain it, that's when it becomes stagnant, and that's when it becomes illness for you. Did I answer your question?
You mentioned journeying. What is that? What does that feel like or look like?
I basically get in, for the sake of this understanding more, I go into the a different realm through a deep meditation to find out what is the energy stop flowing. What was the blockage right there that this energy is not flowing no more? And I go to a deep meditation a day before. Well, a few hours before, I get into my altar, and I get this in this state of deep meditation, and I travel to that dimension with this energy at that time, and that's how I'm able to see. Well, many times these persons are not telling me. Are afraid to tell me, or they consciously forgot, or they blocked that memory so they don't have to remember, and it's not more painful anymore. Which happens a lot when you are, when there is something, some circumstances that it causes you pain, your mind tries to protect you and block that memory from you.
That makes total sense. So the journeying, will that also reveal to you whether it's coming from the subconscious or coming from karma, or does that not really make a difference?
It makes a difference for that person, mm-hmm. Not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me, because it affects that person thing. It affects the person the same way. It is a good learning tool for that person to know. So when you know about the flow of life, you try not to stop that flow. And you learn how to create that flow in your life. It's all about the flow of life.
Mm.
When we learn that secret, which is not a secret, actually, when we learn how to allow that flow to come through us. It's just like the energies of the universe have to come through us, and it goes down to Mother Earth, Pachamama. All the energies of Mother Earth have to come through us and go up to the universe. We are in this tri-dimensional world and being used as a vessel of those energies. If we try to hold on to those energies, it's not good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to clean ourselves, rejuvenate ourselves by allowing those energies to flow freely up and down.
So do you tell your person that you're working with, do you tell them something different if it is karma versus subconscious? Do you use that somehow as a teaching tool, or do you just let that go and continue to work on them without talking very much?
In various different times, because I'm a very obedient person. If the spirit asks me to tell them, I tell them. Many things I see and receive is not for them to know. Mm-hmm. It's just for my members, so I know what to do. Mm-hmm. But all the time, many people, they don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. For the most part, many people, they don't want to know that. They're not interested in that. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not going to overwhelm somebody with knowledge that they don't want to know.
Right.
So, but if they ask me, by all means, I will tell them the truth. I don't hold nothing back.
Mm. I'm wondering if it's a subconscious thing in psychology very often that comes back to haunt people. And so I'm wondering how you deal with something not reoccurring. In other words, I can see, in my mind, I can see how helping reestablish the flow of karma could alleviate an illness. But if somebody has a subconscious thought, very often it seems like they're addicted to that thought and that it would come back again. Is that, do you find that, or how do you deal with that or break the cycle of that kind of toxic thinking?
See, something very interesting about my work is that I don't work against nobody's will.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody comes and, like, it happens many times, they come and say, you know what, I have this problem and I want to work on this problem.
Mm.
And then I find out that the issue is coming from somewhere else, but they don't want to work on that issue.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to work, they just want to patch, and they don't want to deal with that. And I respect that. You know, I respect that. I know some people that got some karma the other day that happens. This person that I know, this person have breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a good opportunity to release that. But she decided not to do it.
Hmm.
She decided not to do it, not to go through it. And I have to respect that. Wow. I respect everyone's decision. It was her decision. It was her choice. She got the divine right to choose that, and she died.
Wow.
But she died, and I was happy for her. I was happy for her because it was her decision.
Right.
And a lot of people are like that. They block themselves. They decide that they don't want to do nothing about it. And I'm glad because they're choosing one thing or the other, you know, but they're exercising their free will, which mm-hmm. is one of the most beautiful gifts that we have in this lifetime, your free will. You always have choices. You always have free will to choose.
Mm.
And I have to be okay with that. And I am okay with that.
Yeah. Do you ever feel that there's some kind of danger of you taking on the karma, or some, you know, I know in some practices with some gurus, for example, they will take on someone's illness in their body, process it, and then release it. I know other practices don't do that. So how do you relate to, what's your relationship with the energies when you're working with things like HIV and cancer?
I don't have any doubts of that. This mm-hmm. is number one. I trust my gift so much, and I trust the energies that I work with, that mm-hmm. if one day that happens to me, I will take it. That was my journey. That was my, something that it was meant to be. But I won't get that. I won't get that because this is not something that you transmit. There is something that you can get if you allow to, by working about against somebody's will. Let's say a patient comes in and that patient doesn't want to get healed. And if I try to heal this person, I been with that energy without this person's permission, and then I might get something. Because all the energy is like a circulatory rim that is moving. The energy is moving all the time. And if you don't have the permission of this person to work on their karma, on their cancer or HIV, then you might get it. It's not for sure, but you might get it. And that's why I'm very, very careful with this God-given gift of free will.
Beautiful. What about working with male and female energies? Do you find any difference with that?
There is a very, very different, energies working with males and females. And mostly, the energies, the difference is their beliefs. We as a man, we tend to consciously play the macho man thing. There's a reason why there's more women in this business, if you want to call it spiritual business. 80% of my clients are women because they're more open. Women are more open to believe, more open to receive. That's why, I'm not like that, but that's why men are well known for not asking for direction to find a place. Have you heard that before? So women are more open to receive. Women are a little bit more open to embrace, to search, to... I always... In my ceremonies, I always tell women that they have a lot of beautiful and strong attributes up in themselves. The only problem with women is that they don't acknowledge them. And that's why the little bit that, or let's say the things that men have, we are pretty good about acknowledging who we are and what we are, for the most part. What women don't. Woman has a very unique strength, a very unique way to deal with things. And they are very strong. That's one other reason why women get healed faster. Because they're more open to receive. I just recently have this person that came to me about 2 months ago, actually about 3 months ago, and she told me straight up, I don't believe in this thing, but I'm willing to give it a try. I have a brain tumor, and I have a breast cancer. So, and I asked her, to come back the next day because I had a journey on her, actually a spirit about her. So when she came back the next day, I told her, give me two months. She said, okay, you got it. So she was coming to a private healing, a group healing to the center. 2 months later, that happens about 3 weeks ago, she went back to this big hospital in Los Angeles where they're supposed to perform her brain tumor surgery, and they find out that there was nothing there. And breast cancer was gone as well.
Wow.
So that was a very beautiful thing for her. So ever since this person is comes to the classes and the weekly ceremonies and all the stuff to the center, because she was willing to receive that.
Right.
And there was, for me, that's the difference between male energy, female energy.
And what about the ability to let go? Because sometimes it seems to me women hang on to grudges more than men do. That during if that has an effect, yeah, that sometimes women have a harder time moving on, forgiving and forgetting?
This is a very different thing, because women tend to hold on to emotions a lot more than men. Mm-hmm. And since women are more emotional beings, because the motherhood allows, they have to be that way, allowed to be that way, women receive more. And for the sake of safety, the woman promotes. For the sake of love, the woman promotes. For the sake of family, the woman has in them, they hold a lot of emotions. They repress a lot of feelings. And all these feelings, for the most part, women are either accumulated in the heart chakra or in the second chakra. And that's why we see a lot of women with stomach issues. That's why we see a lot of women with cancer, breast cancer issues, because they accumulate their emotions, their resentments, right there in those two parts, for the most part. Mm. When men, we accumulate it in the second chakra mainly, and that's when we get itches with the prostate. Mm.
Mm. Interesting. So
totally different energies. Yeah.
What's that?
See, they're totally different energies.
Yeah. So if someone comes to you for a session, what could they expect? Like, what kind of things, what would it look like? It's probably different all the time, but say if someone was a little nervous and they wanted to know, generally speaking, what could they expect a shamanic session to look like? What would you tell them?
I'm sorry to break in, guys, but can we do our commercial first? We've got to take a 1-minute commercial real quick before we get into that. Is that okay?
Yes.
It's okay. Let's go ahead and take a 1-minute commercial. I want to remind everyone they can find Mr. Garay at theinnersanctuary.org, and we will be right back in 1 minute.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, we're back, and I missed the commercial timing. I apologize. And we were talking about what could someone expect if they came to a shamanic healing session. Is there some kind of general description? There may not be, but if for someone who has never gone and they're a little nervous, what might we say to them about what they might go through, what it would look like?
First, I talk to the person, and the reason why I talk to the person is not so much to hear what they had to say, but to feel the energy. What is that energy? That's one of the main things that I do when I talk to someone, is to read the energy, to see what is the energy telling me. Because many times when we are in a difficult situation, the first thing we do is get into the denial. Oh, no, not me. No, this has not happened to me. This is not what is going on. So the energy tells me a lot about themselves. Many times they're bringing their spirits with them, their spirit guides, and the spirit guides are telling me, this is what's going on. This is the truth, you know. And many times the guardian angel comes in and this is what is going on with this person. And that's what the process starts, by this person expressing themselves, because when I have this person to talk to me about what their issues are, if they're creating a flow by them speaking those words and they're listening to those words, you're talking to your higher self. Mm. And then you create a flow of energy. You're telling the universe, this is what my problem is. I want a solution for this. And that's where the whole process starts. So after I talk to a person, then I see what is needed. Then I see if a person needs to come back later on, or if I need to do something right away, I need to put them on the healing table, I need to sit them down in a chair, and I need, if I need some herbs for me to work on this person, I go get it. If this person needs to bring, come back and bring flowers, I have a person to bring flowers. Different stuff. Depends if I need things that I don't have it right there at the center, like herbs, flowers, or candles, stuff like that. I ask the person to go buy them. And I tell them straight up how long that process is going to take. It might take that day only. It might take 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. Depends on what the issue is and the willingness for this person to receive the good energy.
Hmm. Have you ever...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Have you ever worked on somebody that they're really shut down, their energy flow is kind of locked down, and if so, what do you do with that?
I ask him, what are you doing here first? Because if you're going to, yes, if you're not going to trust me and do what I need to do, there's no reason for the person to be there. Mm. If you're going to come to the center and allow me, give me the permission to work on your energy, that means you're going to open the door for me, wide open, no restrictions. Like somebody came to me, I got a fountain that it runs with holy water, and it runs all the time because that's one of the tools that I use. And this person came to me and it says, oh, Javier, I don't like that noise of the water running. Can you turn it off? And I go, no, I can't. It's part of my tools. He said, well, I don't know if I'm going to be willing to have receive that healing with the water running. So, well, in that case, it's your choice. It's always this person's choice. Mm. But if they're closed, they're not open to receive, they have no business on the center, on the sanctuary. There's not got no business getting that ritual or getting that healing, because it's a waste of time and energy, and I'm not here to waste my time or my energy on somebody who doesn't want to receive. Mm. I cannot force, and I would not force anyone, not even my own kids, to receive the healing. Only when you want, only who the person who wants it. Mm. I got family and friends that they don't believe in this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I bless them as well. I bless them. And I don't talk to them about it because they're not going to listen.
Right. So you know a lot of other practices, Reiki and other things. How does shamanism differ from the other practices that you do?
Differs because the nature, the usage of nature. in many of these practices, many of these modalities, they have a lot of things in common too. Like there's a Reiki master that works in the center. Her name is Lorna. You met her too. That she's a Reiki master, but now that she's we've been working together, she's learning about shamanism and she's integrating shamanism with her Reiki. So now she's doing a combination of all that, which is benefits greatly to all the people that receive healing from her. But it is different when it comes to the beliefs, where the energies come from. It differs with the tools that you use. Like Reiki, they don't use sage that I use. They don't use the flowers that I use. They don't use the water that I use or the coconut that I use. And the other prana healing, they don't touch people. I do have to touch people. It is my vehicle. I have to touch you. So the person that comes to me, I told them straight up that I'm going to be touching their different parts of their body where the spirit is done. Of course, respectfully.
Got it.
That's why it's so different than other modalities.
Got it. Can you work with people who are not local? Can you work with people remotely? And how do you do that?
There's different ways to do this. I have a group of people that I work with them every week. They're like over 1,000 people. And they're all over. Mostly this group is an Spanish group. And I work with them. And they're from Venezuela, Mexico. They're from Puerto Rico. They're from Honduras, Brazil, Argentina. I have a lot of people from Argentina. And I can work indirectly with them, but I will need a picture or I have to see them on Skype. I have to see them on Skype and I have to have a picture when they connect their energies with the energies of the center through that picture. So I have a picture and I just put a picture on the table, just as I do for a regular person. And I anchor the energy with them. Actually work around, everything between 800 to 1,200 people every week remotely. At the same time, in Skype, I have different clients that I work with in Canada, in Mexico, in Serbia. I had a few, too. It's different for every healing, like you mentioned before, is so different. So if there is something that is very strong, it works different for something that is just emotional. But I do have those experiences with a lot of people online. And I have very good feedback from that.
Fabulous. Well, this has been absolutely incredibly wonderful talking to you, and I want to thank you again for making the time to come on the air and share about this kind of work that you do and also about the Center Inner Sanctuary in Riverside, California, where we can find Javier at all times and seek out his help if we need it. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us before we sign off?
I just want to thank you for the job that you're doing, the kind of work that you're doing, expanding the consciousness of people and allowing to be, to find themselves and who they are. So I'm going to thank you for that.
Fellow light workers, we appreciate it. Thank you. All right. Well, thank you so much. And we will be in touch, Javier. And Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Going to sign off. Yeah.
Very good. A big thanks to Javier Garay for joining us tonight. We'd like to remind everyone that you can find Javier online at theinnersanctuary.org. Theinnersanctuary.org. Don't go away. We definitely have another hour left. Be sure to stay tuned for that second half of our show, that second hour, to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychic. So we're going to announce the call-in number for that here in a bit. So be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you couldn't get to our show last week, or the week before, rather, we weren't here due to the holidays. But at any rate, if you want to get to any of our shows in the past, and we have tons of them, visit us at PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com and check under the Archives tab, and you'll find all of our shows from the past. And while you're there, circulate the links with all of your friends and family, because we want to connect as many of you as possible. So please share that. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from the paranormal, reincarnation, the how-to of psychic development. It's all there on psychicbloggers.com. If you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you will find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with his or her own unique gift. Every psychic on the site has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them. And it's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic on the site. All of my co-hosts here on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com work at Psychic Access. And if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at PsychicAccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. Incidentally, site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents per minute for every reading on traffic referred to PsychicAccess.com. For more details, visit PsychicAccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, invite your friends to join us in our chat room and invite your friends to listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There's something for everyone, so spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Back to you, Murray.
Well, I just love getting all that information from Javier, and I find him not only gifted, but such a humble spirit, and I love his clarity about free will, and if people don't want to be there getting help, then they shouldn't be there at his place. I love that approach. It's just wonderful. I was wondering if either Steve or Stephen, if you've had any work with shamanism or what you know of this kind of practice and what you think of it.
Well, if you don't mind, I might go ahead and venture some ideas, Marie. I've actually lived quite extensively in various Latin American countries and have seen many a shaman do his work. And, wow, all I can attest to is that it's a magical place. It's a magical tradition, quite complex, tied into the culture of the land, and yet sometimes you find that it's infused with African or European spiritual traditions. So it's I've seen it at work. I've read up on the tradition. Marie, you and I were talking about the writings regarding a Carlos Castaneda, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So it's something that I've been interested for a long time, and it's really kind of hard to discuss because it's quite mysterious. I definitely don't understand all of the things that I've seen and witnessed in the Latin American world insofar as spiritualism is concerned. Definitely mysterious, definitely inexplicable, and I have a great deal of respect for their tradition.
Mm. Yeah, I agree with you about it being mysterious. I've never quite understood the shamanic journeying and soul retrieval is something I've heard about where a shaman will go into other dimensions and other worlds and kind of retrieve the shattered parts of a person and bring them back so that the energy can start flowing again. And I just have no idea what actually occurs with that. But I would imagine a Reiki master would probably have the same hard time describing what Reiki is to someone who's never done it.
Yeah, maybe it's something that happens on the astral plane. I mean, this stuff is really, really complex. It would be a mistake to think of this. We hear the word shamanic and we think aboriginal. We think primitive, perhaps. But it would be wrong to think of it in this way. It's every bit as complex as certain of the medical theories that have emerged out of Europe. So it's definitely not anything to sneeze at or to joke around with. I wish that we'd had another hour so that we could have talked to Javier about the vast pharmacopoeia.
Right.
That is also associated with that tradition, because I'll tell you something, if there's one thing that legitimizes the sort of work that Javier does, it's the fact that the pharmaceutical companies are very interested in the pharmacopoeia associated with his tradition, very interested in it.
Absolutely, and of course a lot of medicines are based off of the original native indigenous cultures' herbal solutions that they have used, quinine coming from the willow bark, and many other potions that we now sell by prescription were based on the chemistry of shamanic tradition. So I completely agree with you. Steve, have you had any dealings with or interactions with?
I have not. I have met a shaman, but I haven't actually had a session with a shaman, so I don't have experience of working with shamanic energies, but it's something I'm very interested in. You hear a lot about this in America, but I don't recall hearing a lot much about shamanism in the UK.
Yeah.
You guys in the US seem to be very open to shamanism, or seem to have had more experience with shamanism, but I'm sure there are shamans in the UK, but you don't hear about it as much as you do in the United States.
I think the European tradition more goes along the line of Celtic and Druid and pagan type of practices. That's why I was asking Javier about if there was a relationship, because the Druid practice is very much working with elements and working with plants and nature and spirits from the
people.
Earth.
The people in Siberia and Russia, just want to interject, they have a shamanic tradition out of Siberia.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right. Very, very true. And Australia has, of course, the Aborigine shamanic tradition as well. So I guess it is all around the world, but that's interesting about the UK.
I did have an interesting experience with a plant the other day. That sounds really strange. I wasn't planning to say this, because people will think I'm crazy. And if somebody told me the story that I have, that I'll tell you, I would think that they were crazy. But until it happened to me, but I had this beautiful little money plant.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that shamans work a lot with plants and nature. And so I tell this little story because it's interesting, and because I think it's a testimony to the importance of being aware of and integrated with nature. But I had this little money plant, and it was not doing very well. And I've never been very good with plants. I like working in my yard, but indoor plants, house plants, I'm always busy, and I just don't take care of them very well, basically. That's the bottom line. And so I had this little money plant, and it was not doing well at all. And I was looking at it, and I just heard this message really clearly in my mind's eye. And the message was, "You've never even touched me." And Oh, sorry. Did you want to say something?
Oh, no, just listening.
Oh, sorry. I thought you wanted to ask me a question or say something, Maria. So I stopped because I was really surprised. And I thought, well, that's not my guide's voice. I'm not with a client. Why am I hearing this voice? And I looked at the plant and I started hearing more. And the plant was really annoyed. And it was basically chastising me for not showing any interest in it, and for having the plant but never having even touched the leaves, you know, never having caressed the leaves or done anything with the plant other than throw a bit of water on the soil. And the voice went on and said, "You can't expect to experience the abundance of nature if you ignore nature. And you can't expect me to thrive if you've chosen me, but you've never even touched me." we felt really ashamed because I felt, well, it's true, I've treated this plant just like some object in my home that's not alive and haven't paid any attention to it. I've never touched the leaves. I've never really tried to take a cutting or considered how to really make this plant thrive. And the voice went on and said, well, the reason there are so many problems in the world, or one of the reasons there are so many problems in the world, is because we're so divorced from nature and so arrogant about nature. We've separated ourselves from our natural environment in so many ways. And it just really struck me. So I decided, oh, I'm really going to take care of this money plant. And it's really doing brilliantly. And I talk to it a little bit. And I do touch the leaves when I go past and say, oh, you know, you're doing really well. You're looking really good. And I took a couple of cuttings as well, Maria, and they're doing brilliantly. So I feel like I got the message. And it just was an experience that really surprised me because I've never heard a plant speak. And it was an important lesson because I wasn't being respectful towards the plant. And it is true that we need to be integrated with nature, I think, in order to be whole. And I know that shamans do work very closely with nature.
I love that story. That's a great story.
I'll be in a straitjacket next week, maybe, but
it's
a true story.
Yeah, that's fabulous. I live on an acre of land, and I have a lot of trees and plants and animals also. And it's sometimes people say, well, don't you get kind of upset or sad or bored living alone? And I have to say that once you do start talking to the plants on your property and the trees and rocks as well, I'm a big conversationalist with rocks and the animals in my head. It's a very rich life. It is one that would also land me in an asylum should a regular, normal person hear my description of who I'm conversing with all day. So it is an amazing world when we start to tune into all the energies around us that are not particularly human and are not particularly life forms that we're used to conversing with. So I just love that you had that story. I think that's fabulous. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Findhorn Garden in...
Yes.
Yeah, so apparently that all of those plants were grown in sandy, barren soil that had never supported gardens before. And I love the idea that when we relate to nature, things really, really change, not only for us, but for nature as well, that we can somehow nurture nature simply by talking and tuning in energetically to these life forms that in industrial countries we've been taught to kind of disregard. Oh, it's just a plant. Oh, it's a tree. Chop down the tree, and with no thought of who's living there, who that is.
I notice, Maria, that when I've worked really hard, and if I've been doing a lot of channeling, that I can feel quite spaced out in the evening. But coming home and, you know, working in the yard, even if it's just for 15 minutes, or lying on the grass, it really makes me feel grounded. It really makes me feel good again. And the times when the sun's shining and I'm out working in my yard, I feel so good. I feel so healthy. And I'm convinced that spending time in nature, you know, having animals, and I have three cats and a dog now, a puppy, but they're so good for me.
Right.
Because they're wonderful company, but taking care of them is really good for me. I think that there's a lot to be said psychologically about having something to take care of.
Yeah, I agree. But also, you know, I don't know if you've heard of earthing mats that came out a few years ago, and they're quite phenomenal for healing. And all it is a silver post that you put out the window, and then you put it into the ground, and then the electromagnetic field of the earth is broadcast along to this pad that has silver threads in it. So that people, and you can also use it by plugging it into the grounding post of a socket, and they send a tester so that you can make sure the post in the socket is really grounded. It will put on a little light. And then for people who spend a lot of time not touching the earth, who don't walk barefoot, who work in offices or live in apartments, they can sit or sleep on these earthing mats. And there's been phenomenal results in terms of health turning around, the ability to sleep, mood changes, etc. And that all that is doing is taking the energy of the bare earth that we used to touch a lot with our skin and transmitting it through a pad onto our skin again. And it's a great invention. It's also sad, though, that that's what we have to do to touch the earth. And I completely agree with you. There's nothing that makes me feel better and more functional when I'm feeling a little wacky than going outside, walking barefoot or sitting on the lawn. It's phenomenal.
And even Maria, you know, I work hard, mostly because I love my work. I just adore my work, so I enjoy working. But I do at times get run down and tired. But I find that even things like taking some logs from my garage and making a log fire, sitting by a log fire, making a meal, you know, handling foods and making food for myself and for other people, even tidying my home, doing laundry. These things are somehow very, very grounding, and I feel that they're very good for us.
Well, I agree. You know, that there's a Zen saying, chop wood, carry water, and meaning that, you know, after all your giant, incredible, enlightening experiences through meditation, you still need to go build your fire and bring some water in to cook a meal, and to never forget that, and to never that is also a sacred part of life along with our spiritual practice. So I completely agree with you with all of those things are very grounding. And very often I get more of a spiritual opening while I'm doing that kind of work, because somehow my body and my energies get into much more balance than when I'm sometimes meditating. I'm traveling out so far that I almost can't make sense of what's going on. And when I'm doing these other things, it keeps me more anchored so I can better receive messages and better expand energies without flying into the ethers.
I got to tell you something. I have spent many nights with nothing but my head laying on the earth, with fires, without fires.
Right. I've
spent the night outside many times. I love being out in nature, love camping. And, yeah. You know, it's different when you do it that way. You know what I mean? The woods, the landscape, it takes on a different character because, you know, you get a sense of being in a foreign environment. The same, it just has a different character. And really, you can't do it to get the best result. You have to leave your cell phone and you have to leave your tablet at home. One thing I love about camping is that it's pristine, the silence, everything is absolutely virgin, and you don't want to mess that up with the god awful androgynous bleeps and bloops of a godless electronic device. Let's be pure about it, okay? But I just wanted also to break in here and give out the call-in number for the free readings. That number is 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that. It is 724-444-4851. Okay. A couple of preliminaries here. Be aware that every call is automatically going to be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So once you're on hold, just relax, listen to the show. You'll be able to hear the show while you wait. And once you get on the air, we ask that you be as clear and as direct with your single question as possible. We can only take one question per person in the interest of getting it to all the calls on time. So once again, that number is 724-444-4851. Okay. There we go, Maria. I just wanted to go ahead and toss that out there for folks to have. And also I wanted to give my hotshot camping story too.
I do love camping. I agree with you. I have two horses, and so I have to pick up horse manure every day. And I swear it's a meditation for me. And the horses come over to get petted. They'll stand where I'm working so I can't work until I pet them enough to be released to go about my chores. So they always remind me never to be too busy to connect. And I love that they do that. So it's just, I wish we had you know, more access to Mother Earth. And I feel bad sometimes with, I grew up in Manhattan and I have a lot of friends that live in New York. And I just, I wonder what that would be like for me now to live back in a concrete jungle like that with very little access to nature.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's like living in another type of natural environment. But, you know, we get farther away from the scale of being organic, you know, because even in the big city, the lights cut out the stars. We can't see the stars. And, you know, I wish we had yet a third hour so that in addition to talking about botanicals of the shamanic tradition, we could talk about the calendrics and the timekeeping systems for which the predecessors of Mr. Garay's tradition are very, very famous for doing. The Mayans and the Aztecs, they had an exquisite, gorgeous, sophisticated method of tracking time and of examining the cycles of the body and the cycles of society. And, we really could have had 3 or 4 hours with Javier tonight, Dr. Nona Marie, and it would have been absolutely spectacular. He makes me want to go revisit all those Carlos Castaneda books. You know, they remind me so much of, they feel sort of like a mix between Jack Kerouac's On the Road, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and, you know, with the Tex-Mex flair. You know what I mean? I mean, they're really awesome, very philosophical, and they're hard to describe adequately. You just should read them. You know, they're great.
Yeah, fabulous. Love it.
Have you guys read Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist?
Yes, I love that guy.
No, what is?
Oh, it's an amazingly successful book. I read it in Spanish years ago, but I didn't speak Spanish fluently at the time, so I didn't think I integrated enough of it. It's a book I want to go back and look at because I just feel it's important. So tell us a little about it, Stephen.
About The Alchemist, Paulo Coelho. It's been so long since I read it. I can barely remember the salient points. And I read it in English. I didn't even have the benefit of reading it in Spanish like you did. But I definitely, he's written a lot of other things as well. He's very famous in the Latin American world. He's sort of like, what's the name of that author who recently passed away? Gabriel Garcia.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
No, the guy who wrote that story about the angel. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's him. You know, there's a definite mystical tradition coming out of the Latin American world that it infuses their literature and is worth reading, very much worth reading. Their philosophical tradition might not be as formalized as that of Europe. You know, they might not have, for example, a Central American or Latin American equivalent of Neoplatonism or Stoicism, but yet it's still very, very complex.
What made you think of it, Steve? Why did you bring it up? Was there some connection there that?
No, I'm just completely random, but I think it's a good book. I think it's something important about that book. We needed to read it.
Well, Steve,
so I can't remember what triggered the thought, but I drawn to it.
I'm glad you got the floor there, Steve. Actually, we have a caller coming in from Ohio with your name on it, my friend.
Great, thank you. Who's calling from Ohio this evening?
Kathy,
how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am good, Kathy. I'm very good.
Calling.
Thank you. How can we help
you? I was wondering if you see me having any more children.
Yes, definitely. There's your answer.
Okay. Just one.
And I say that simply because I pulled some cards, but I'm also looking at an astrology chart and working with my intuition, and the indicators for having more children are extremely positive. Now, that said, I don't feel that you are confident about it. So I don't feel that you believe that you will necessarily have more children. There's some sort of reservation or self-criticism going on within you. But mm-hmm. I'm sure you can have more children and will have more children.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. And wish you lots of luck.
Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Wow, thank you very much, Kat, for calling us. And thank you, Steve, for that excellent reading. You can find Steve Frampton at psychicaccess.com. That was outstanding. Now, I have a caller from North Carolina. Hello, North Carolina. How may I help you?
Hello?
Good evening. Thank you for calling. How may I help you this evening?
Yes, I was calling to see, do you see a move ahead? You see me moving anywhere?
Okay, one second while I pick up on your situation, okay? Is she going to be moving anywhere? One second. I'm getting a pretty strong yes, actually. It does look as if, from what I see here, it looks like you will be moving pretty soon. Now, on a timeline, the time is still coming through, but definitely you're going to be moving, and it's going to be soon-ish. I mean, if we want to talk about timing, it's not going to be years here. It's probably going to be weeks or months. Like I say, the situation is still coming through in fits and starts. Actually, I think you're going to be much happier once you do move as well. I think you're going to be extremely happy once you do move. So the answer to your question is definitely yes, you are going to move. It'll probably happen sooner rather than later, so in the next weeks or months, and you're going to be much happier in your new place than where you're at right now, you see. So do you have any places picked out already?
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying, because I was kind of pondering. I wanted to own my own home. I'm trying to see what's the best step right now, because I wanted, you know, it's a reality to have your own home, but I was trying to see what should I rent first and then save up and go towards my home. I'm trying to figure out how to do it.
No. You're not going. This is going to be your last move. So you're going to be going. Go for a mortgage. Don't try to rent. I'm getting. I'm getting fixity here. I'm getting things that are fixed in place. All of the numerology here is numbers that aren't changing. They show a future that is staying in place. You know what I mean? So it's not a mobile home. It's not in terms of moving from place to place. It's not going from apartment to apartment or going and signing a lease. We're talking mortgage here, not lease. And this is going to be a permanent structure. You know what I mean? So definitely go for a mortgage. Don't try to rent, because what I'm seeing here is that things are going to happen fairly well. I mean, I'm not sure what your work history is, but it does seem as if something in your having to do with your financial past is going to aid you in getting a mortgage. I don't know if maybe it's just the solid nature of your work history, or maybe if you got some sort of a raise, but it happened in your past and it's going to work in your favor when it comes time to filling out the mortgage application. And you're going to have a lot of luck in this.
That's exactly what I'm looking for. That is a blessing, because I've been praying for it. Thank you so much.
Well, hey, best of luck. We wish you all the best there, and come back and let us know how it goes.
I sure will. Thank you much. Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, I do believe we have a caller from Ohio for Dr. Nona Marie Foyer.
Okay. Looks like Ontario, actually.
Oh, my apologies. It is
Hello.
Ontario. You're right.
It changed. It was Ohio, but now it's Ontario. Are you there, Ontario?
Hello.
Hi. Are you calling from Ontario, Canada, or California?
Yes, are you there?
Yes. Are you calling from Canada or California?
I'm calling from Ohio.
Oh, Ontario, Ohio? Wow.
I was wondering, do you see me getting a new vehicle?
I see you getting a newer vehicle, not a brand new vehicle, but a newer used vehicle. So instead of, say, a 2015, something like a 2014 or 2013, yes.
It's going to be like a van or a truck?
Yes, I think a van, not a truck. It will be a van or something like an SUV even, but it feels like it's not your favorite.
Oh, by the end of the year or the beginning of the year?
I do think that you will get it the end of December, by the end of December, right out between Christmas and New Year's. And it will either be white or silver.
Oh.
All right?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, ma'am. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you very much. If you would like to get a reading from Dr. Nona Marie Foyer, You can find her at psychicaccess.com. Now, let's see. Are we?
Ohio.
Okay, I think we have another caller from Ohio for Steve.
Yes.
Thank you, Stephen. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. How can we help you?
I wonder if you see me getting my bankruptcy started here in about February, and if I'll get it taken care of.
Your bankruptcy? Yes, I do. Actually, I do. The indicators are good, Sherry. I feel
you
like there's going to be a lot of correspondence, a lot of people that you'll need to speak to. So just prepare yourself for the level of
I can't hear a thing. I can't hear what you're saying.
Oh, really? Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I can hear you better now.
Yes, I can.
You can.
You can.
I can hear you also.
Good. Okay, Sherry, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm saying that I really do feel that you will, Sherry. I feel that you're going to have to, brace yourself, prepare yourself for the amount of administration, and that goes without saying. But the insight I have is also saying there's going to be a lot of interaction, a lot of communication. You're going to have to be very sort of adaptable and flexible in the process, and you'll need to, in effect, make changes as you move through that process, but I do feel that you will. I feel that it'll take some time to come together, but I do feel that it will work out for you.
Yeah, I'll get rid of my truck. That's what I'm going bankrupt for. Get rid of my poor escape and try to find me something else to drive. You think that'll happen?
Yeah, I feel that it will be fine. I do.
Okay,
and
thank
I feel
you.
That you'll just feel much happier about the situation. It's definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I'll feel much better.
You will. You will. You'll be
unburdened. Thank you. Thank you.
All right?
Yes, thank you.
Good. You're welcome, Sherry. Good luck.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve, for that reading. Would like to remind everyone that you can find Steve at psychicaccess.com. Now, I have a caller from Ontario. Hello, Ontario.
Yeah, hi.
How are you doing this evening, sir, and how may I help you?
I'm doing all right. I kind of had a falling out with a really close friend probably just a little over a month ago. It was turning into more than a friendship. Mm-hmm. And, we haven't spoken in like a month. We're not even on each other's Facebook. I'm just wondering if you see Courtney and I kind of reuniting.
All right. One second while I pick up on this situation, okay? One second here. I gotta say, I tell you what, I think what the problem I think is not really so much any specific thing that you did wrong. I think what's going on is that she might be sort of panicking from things getting too close too quick. So the answer to your question is yes, I do expect that you will get a chance to, I guess, reform yourself or get a chance to talk to her again and improve things with her. But by the same token, if things start to get oriented toward a commitment, if she feels like she's being led toward a commitment again, then we can expect these same problems in the future. You see what I'm driving at? But I think what's going to bring her back in the sense and start the friendship back up again, start your dealings with her back up again, is the fact that she is very attracted to you. She is indeed very attracted to you. So that's what you got going in her favor, going in your favor. I just want to make sure that you're not accidentally sort of pushing her off. So you got to be careful about, I guess, the magnitude and the intensity of how much you want this sort of leaking through, because it'll frighten her off, and I think that's what's happening now. You know what I'm saying? She's like completely not really wanting. She's very wary and not wanting to do anything to encourage relationship, but yet at the same time she's attracted to you. I mean, it's complicated for her, but her reaction to this complication is sort of to back off. You know what I mean? That's when she's not sure what's going on. Instead of doing something or committing herself to something, her reaction is just to back off. So what you want to do now is just let her have her moment. Be polite and courteous enough to give her some space to think and to ponder all of this, because it's, you know, is he a friend, or is, you know, am I going to have love with him? You know, these are the sorts of questions she's sorting out. Give her some time to do that, and then once you guys start talking, you know, take it from there again, and just try to tone it down a little bit and let her sort of take the lead. And you should start getting a better result. Okay.
That's kind of what it is. I mean, she was kind of pushing. She was kind of pushing it.
Yeah, you know, it's a situation like this. You know, you can't really give her what she wants as far as that goes, because she doesn't really know what she wants yet. You know what I mean? What she wants might change. So you're going to get a far better result, my friend, if you deny her what she, if she says she wants relationship. I'm not saying to turn her down or reject her, but you be the one, the slow one, the cautious one, taking your time. That's the way to go with this lady. That's the only way to go with her. Even
yeah,
if she
like
says
she's heard in the past
go, you know,
stuff, and I think that she's just really weak. I mean, I'm all for it. Like, we get a start. But we're not even speaking to each other. We're not even on Facebook. I was just wondering, should I message her, you know, like, because I'd really like to, I miss her, you know.
I wouldn't message her right now. I would give it a few days at least, because, you know, we want her to be thinking, to be thinking as well. You know what I'm saying? It's good for her if she's thinking, why hasn't he texted me yet? That's good. You know, we want her to be thinking along those lines. So I would say give her a couple of days at least.
Yeah, we haven't been in a month, and she working on each other's safety anymore.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how long it takes, man. It, believe me, this is very much a situation where he who speaks first loses. Simple
right.
as that.
But you do and see it's kind of becoming friends again, right?
Yeah, she'll be back if you give her enough time. And, I mean, if after, you know, what I'm asking you to do is just to hold yourself off as much as your own self-discipline will allow you to do. That's all. Eventually, at some point, if she doesn't write you back or contact you in enough time, you're going to crack and you're going to text her. All I'm hoping for at this point is that you can hold off for as long as possible. Because the longer you do, the better off you'll be in the end. Trust me.
All right.
Okay. Well, hey, I wish you all the best. This is a difficult situation, but hang in there. It's going to require a lot of patience out of you, and I know you've got the patience to do it. And when you're going through this, just bear this in mind, that the reason you're going through this mess is so that you can become a stronger and more patient person too. So it's for your betterment as well in the long run, sir.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Do you see any kind of time frame? Just one last question, and then I'll let whoever else. Do you see any kind of like time frame, like within the next few months, 3 months, what?
Yeah, I would expect, for me, you got to realize time frame's different from you. For you, immediately is too long. You know what I mean? But for me, a few months is very reasonable. It doesn't seem that long to me. A few months is still what I consider a very reasonable time frame. And definitely I'm thinking months here. You know, if we're very fortunate, it will be weeks. But probably, you know, I would be prepared to go maybe another 1 or 2 months or so. Just to, you know, and again, if you've got the crack, you've got the crack. No, I understand that. You don't beat yourself up about this, but you know what I'm hoping for again is that just that you'll hold out for as long as possible, and you know, be prepared to do so for 2 or 3 months. Okay. And it probably I realize I'm being conservative here, just to be on the safe side. It might not be 2 or 3 months. It might be 1 month or 1.5 months. But let's just be conservative, just to be on the safe side. Okay.
All right. Okay.
Wish you all the best on this one, my friend. Thanks for calling us this evening.
Hey, great. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Bye.
Okay. We have a caller from New Jersey for Nona.
Hi, New Jersey. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi. Thanks for being on hold. Appreciate your call. What's your name?
Alex.
Hi, Alex. What can I do for you?
So I just have a question. You know, my grandmother passed away 3 weeks ago, and I just wanted to know, if she already found, like, if she crossed over already, and, like, what is her journey, you know, because I haven't been able to communicate with her yet.
Mm-hmm. And what is her first name?
Rose.
Rose. It does feel to me like she has indeed crossed over completely. And it also does feel to me like she has lots of people on the other side. And it feels to me like sometimes when people cross over, there's so much, I want to say, reunion, emotional response, going through what happened at a lifetime. And there, it's not always possible to stay connected to Earth right away because there's so much processing that still goes on, so much emotional release that goes on. I do believe that around Christmas, actually a little bit after that, that you will be able to communicate more with her. But for now, she is, you're very perceptive about this. It does not feel to me like she is connected right now to you on Earth. She, in some ways, was not so, she has others that she worries about, and she is not so worried about you. There's something about you in her eyes that is very, I don't want to say solid, but that you're tenacious, you hang on, you can get through things that some other people that she's connected with give up much more easily. So for that reason, she feels like it's been safe to leave you alone for a little bit of time. But that will not be permanent. She is not going to be, I feel so much an angelic guide for you, but that she will be coming back to you to connect you with another spirit that is, in a sense, more advanced than her. So it feels to me like she will be coming to you to give you the gift of connecting you to a guide that you do not have as of yet. And will kind of establish that relationship for you. And then she will be leaving shortly thereafter. That, in other words, she will not be with you for years and years and years.
Right. Yeah, that's so, the same thing. That's where I kind of got. Like, I think she's going to be around more, not me, but, you know, other people. Not, you know, because
yes.
I just had that feeling, you know. I just wanted to know if, because before she passed,
mm-hmm.
I kind of knew that she was gonna go, so mm-hmm. I went down and, you know, I think I helped her cross over, you know, because yes. I could heal myself. So, you know, I just put my hands on her feet and, you know, just kind of relaxed her and everything. And,
yes.
You know, so I just, my question is, like, I'm sure she appreciated it, but I just wanted to know if will she come back and, you know.
Yes. So I believe that in some ways you are a more mature soul than she is, actually. Therefore, she cannot help you as much as she can connect you and open a door for another guide for you to come to. In many ways, you helped her more than she helped you in this life. And I would say to you, sometimes you underestimate the impact your energy has on people. It is really quite strong. You have quite a lot of talent for healing, particularly healing in the energy fields of others. In other words, being able to go out into another dimension, in a sense, and work with people's energies. And in some ways, they won't even know that you're working on them. And that talent is going to blossom in about 2 years. And the introduction of this guide via your grandmother will be the beginning of those teachings, that this will be a guide that once you get solid in that relationship will come to you rather clearly through meditations and dreams and start to teach you how to use your talent in a better way, in a more consistent fashion, because you back off from it sometimes thinking it must be your imagination or that maybe you're just being grandiose, but you're not. So your healing talents have not even begun to blossom yet, but they're going to. So you have quite an exciting time in front of you, in my point of view.
Right. So, okay. Ask you another question, or
we're limited, unfortunately, to one question at a time. But you can always find me as Nona on Psychic Access. We're all working there, Steve, Stephen, and myself. So, if you have more material, perhaps you could call back through the site, and we could do a longer session then.
Sure, no problem.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Dr. Nona Marie Foyer, for that excellent reading. If you would like to book a reading with Dr. Nona Marie Foyer, by all means, jet on over to psychicaccess.com, and you will find her there. Now, we have a caller from Virginia for Steve.
Thank you. Who's calling from Virginia?
Hello.
Hi there. What's your name?
Hi, Steve. This is Dee. How are you?
Your name is Dee Dee.
Dee, yes.
Great, Dee Dee. I'm very well, thank you. I'm glad to have you here, Dee Dee. How can we help you?
I am calling to find out what you see as romantic interest coming my way.
I see a lot, Dee Dee, to be honest with you. I feel like this is an extremely high priority for you. So you're not just somebody that, feels that you would like to have romance in your life. You're somebody that's really raised this to the top of your agenda. So we have many things that we're working on, many things that we want to create in life at any point in time. But often there's this question of prioritization and, you know, looking through the list and saying, well, where do I want my focus to be? And as I said, I feel as though you've raised this to the top of your agenda. You want to have fun. You want romance in your life. You feel that now is a good time. You're feeling confident. You feel quite outgoing and energetic, and you're in good shape. You're in a good place emotionally, psychologically, to really engage in romance, engage in a relationship. And you know, so many of us, or at so many times, we want that. Not necessarily for the right reasons. It's sometimes because we feel incomplete, or we feel that we must be with somebody. But I feel that you've got a really good perspective, Dee Dee. I don't feel that you're resonating that sort of lack or anxiety. I feel that you feel good about yourself. You're confident about life, and this is something that you've decided you're going to put your energy into. And I really feel that the way you would meet the right person is to just get out there and have fun. In other words, do the things that you enjoy. Get involved in activities and groups and the things that you're really interested in. You meet like-minded people, and I don't feel you'll have any issues, Dee Dee. I'm drawn to the month of March. March, April, my guides are saying. So when they say that, we're talking, if I initially feel March and they say March, April, they're pulling me later into March. So let's say the second half of March. But I just feel you need to be yourself, Dee Dee, enjoy life, and go for it. You've had issues in the past. I feel as though there was a relationship in the past that was very difficult from an emotional perspective. You know, quite a bit of emotional manipulation, but I feel that you've really let go of all of that. I feel that you're very fun-loving.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, you're smart, and you're interested in so many things intellectually, and you're in good shape. This is a great time, Dee Dee. So yes, I feel very confident about this.
Awesome, thank you.
You're welcome. Enjoy.
I will, thanks.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Have a good holiday as well.
You too, thanks.
Thank you very much. If you would like to get a reading with Steve, you can find him at psychicaccess.com. I have a caller from New Jersey. Hello, how may I help you? Hello, caller from New Jersey. How are you this evening?
Oh, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Hi, good. I was calling because I had met someone, we just started talking. I'm not too sure about him because I feel like my ex. So I wonder if you see anything going on with me and this new guy.
Okay, so just let me understand. You've met someone new and you're not quite sure about him. So you would like to know like what he feels about you, whether, you know, he's telling you the truth about something, whether, you know, where you're going.
Yeah, like if he's serious or playing games, you know, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha. Is he serious or playing games? Let's see. One second while I pick up on this gentleman for you, okay?
Okay.
One second. Well, I got to admit, it's first of all, is he serious or playing games? Well, he's definitely serious. I mean, it's possible, I think, for people to be both serious and playing games. But I would say he's, I'd say he's more on the serious side. I mean, you know, this doesn't really happen every day. But judging from what I'm seeing here and what I'm picking up on here, let's just say that the ingredients are right for something long term to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
1 second. Let me see what else we got going on here. This isn't your run-of-the-mill sort of a romantic situation. That's definitely right. For sure. Well, first of all, I think this dude is going to pretty much take you off of the market one way or the other. You know what I'm saying? I don't see you as doing single bachelorette things anymore. Now, I'm not saying y'all are going to get married or anything, but I am saying that regardless of what I tell you today, I do believe that no matter what happens, you're probably going to choose to continue forward with him. Is he serious? Again, I would just have to say, yeah, he is very serious.
Okay.
Now, is he trustworthy? That's another question entirely. You know, I'm not picking up on any significant moral fault. Let me just say that. In fact, I would have to say that the gentleman is fairly responsible. He's concerned, you know, he's concerned about his life and involved in his own life. You know, he takes care of himself. I'm picking up on a gentleman who's quite serious right now, even though I think he's going to show you a more fun side, believe it or not, and a more joyous side here pretty soon. So I think this is a fairly decent situation. It's got a certain inertia to it, again, where things are just going to kind of happen no matter what we do.
Okay. So I suppose meet with him tomorrow for a date.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're asking me whether you should keep the... You're asking me whether you should keep the date?
For a date, and I'm not sure about the date, if I want to, you know...
You know, I think you actually you'll ultimately go on that date. That's what I think. You know what I mean? I mean, and I'm not, you know, judging from what I see right now, my forecast is that you will eventually decide to go on the date. That's what it looks like to me. I would expect future contact with him.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where it looks. That's the way it looks like it's going right now. For better, for worse, good or ill, it's going towards more contact with him.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I wish you well on this.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling. Okay. We have a caller from Indiana for Dr. Nona Marie Foyer.
Hello, Indiana. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for staying on hold. What's your first name?
Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. What can I do for you?
Oh, hi. I wasn't. I saw this advertised on Facebook and I wasn't quite sure. Am I just supposed to ask like a question that I have a concern about?
You bet. That's exactly right.
do you deal with missing persons at all?
That's not my specialty, but I can give that a shot if you want, or you can ask another question.
Well,
either one.
A real big concern I have right now is my brother's been missing for over 9 weeks.
What is his first name?
Richard.
Wow. You know, how old is he? He doesn't feel that young.
He's 47.
Yeah, okay. It feels to me like he is in with a very bad crowd. Does he have some kind of disability?
Yes.
Yeah. I think he's not in a good place. I think that he will at some point be able to get away by kind of an accident. But I think you're looking at another 6 months before that happens, where I think it will be something very strange, like he'll trip over a police officer or something like that, where he will have then a moment of sort of, I want to say, consciousness, lucidity, where he'll say something like, I want to go home, or, you know, I'm not at my house, or help me, or something like that. It will happen in a public place and he'll be able to get away. But I think you've got about another 6 months with that, I think he'll recover. I think he is getting not treated well, but it's not going to be in a way that's going to totally destroy his life, but it will certainly be a bit of a setback and take some rehabilitation. I do think that you need to persist in getting his information out to public officials. In other words, don't stop nagging them with, he's missing, here's his picture, here's where he was last seen, that kind of thing. That will make a difference. It absolutely will. Even if they treat you like you're a pesky mosquito, just pay no attention. And with every agency and Facebook posting that you can do, I know in the little town that I live in, we have a lot of little groups posting from everything from missing children to lost cats, and it does make a big difference. So you do need to keep that work up. Don't get discouraged. One more thing I would strongly suggest is take something of his that you know, you know, a shirt or something he loves, and if you could just put it somewhere with a candle. So in other words, to kind of just keep praying for him and to him. And I actually have gotten, I got a dog back by doing that for quite a long time, and I thought it would never happen. But sending the energy out as sort of a direct broadcast, like a cell phone call, it does have an impact. So do something with that. Where you, do you have a place where you can put something of his that makes you think about him, remember him, light a candle. Every once in a while, just send a little prayer to him. We're looking for you. We want to find you. All right? And that honestly makes a very big difference. This will work out. It's going to be a little hair raising for you, and you will be biting your fingernails, but it will work out, and he will be okay in the long run. He, like I said, this is not going to end badly. It's just going to be hard. All right.
The thing is with him, you know, he's going through a divorce right now.
Yes,
and
yes.
His lawyers are very concerned that he's not even alive anymore, because he hasn't been able to be found for over at least almost 3 months, and his divorce can't be finalized until he's found, and he has a lot of money that he's supposed to be, you know, inheriting once his divorce is final. And I know that he, you know, money has always been important to him, and I can't imagine he would just, you know, disappear for almost 3 months knowing that his divorce was supposed to be finalized and he would be inheriting this money, you know.
He's not disappeared. He has been snatched. He has been snatched. He got kind of seduced into a situation, and then he got in with a bad group of people. He will be able to get out of this. He will. But it's going to take a little bit longer than you would expect, and you're just going to have to tell people until we find a body, which you're not going to find, that you're going to keep looking for him, and you're going to have to keep that door open. And same thing with the lawyers, everybody. It'll be hard work. I'm not saying any of this is going to be easy.
Can you just give me an example, like what you mean by like he was snatched? Like I don't really understand. I'm must be obviously very naive about the ways of the world, but do you mean he's been like snatched by like ISIS or something like that? I mean, I don't understand what you mean by that. He's been snatched.
A very brief scenario is, for example, if somebody loves gambling, and he did have a little bit of a streak in him with that. If someone, for example, gets invited to a game, a wonderful game of gambling cards, or they're invited to a casino, and then they go there and they are, in a sense, kidnapped. They are not let go. They are held against their will. That is what has happened to him. He kind of blundered into this. He did not have something thrown over his head and thrown in the back of the van. It was not that. It was more that he went somewhere he shouldn't have gone, and now he is being held against his will. And he will find a way out of this. He will find a way. It is a great lesson for him, and you need to hold the line open. In other words, you need to be the person that holds out saying, there's no proof he's dead, therefore we're going to keep looking for him and act as if he's alive. You will have to do that. All right, with your energy and with groups and with the local police, etc. And that will help him find his way home.
Can I ask what your name is? Because I'm not even sure who I'm talking to, but
My name is Nona, N-O-N-N-A, on Psychic Access.
N-O-N-N-A, if I wanted to, do you do appointments with people? If I wanted to talk to you further, how would I be able to reach you? Do you go private consultations?
PsychicAccess.com.
Access.com?
Yep. And I'm usually on early mornings, almost every morning.
You're breaking up on me. It's just Access, A-C-C-E-S-S?
PsychicAccess.com.
Okay. Oh, okay. PsychicAccess.com.
And then look for Nona, N-O-N-N-A.
Okay.
All right, sweetheart?
Okay.
All right, hang in there.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much for calling in. And thank you, Dr. Nona Marie Foyer, for that excellent, excellent reading. You can find Dr. Nona Marie Foyer, as always, at psychicaccess.com. And that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Big thanks to Doug C., who toils behind the scenes to make everything perfect and to keep us on track. Big thanks, Doug. Also, thanks to my co-hosts, Dr. Nona Marie Foyer and Stephen Frampton, psychic medium and astrologer. Steve, your guest is next week, isn't it?
Yes, we have Layla Briggs with us, and she's going to be telling us all about her work channeling and connecting with other dimensions, but also we'll be speaking about her work with gifted children. You may have heard of indigo children, rainbow children,
yes.
Crystal children. She does a lot of work with them, and so we'll be learning a lot, and it will be a lot of fun as always.
Oh, it's almost a cruelty that we have to wait an entire week for that, Steve. It's going to be great. Don't miss it, everyone. Thanks for joining us this evening. Have a great week, and we will see you next Thursday night. From everyone at The Psychic Viewpoint, ciao. Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
I love it.